Amen. It is good to hear those words again. As a child growing up in Tucson, I attended First Baptist Church downtown at 5th and 5th. And every Sunday night, the high school and college choir would come in to that song to start the evening service and go out to that song back into the world as we dismissed the service. It is really important for us to remember that, yes, we are in a battle. It is not a battle against flesh and blood. It's not a battle that is fought on the human plane. It is a battle that is fought against spiritual forces of wickedness. And we do have an adversary, God's adversary, Satan, who prowls around like a lion seeking those whom he will devour. So, what's a Christian to do? That's the theme of today's message. And the Apostle Paul gives us a little bit of insight as we start our service today from Philippians chapter 3. I'm beginning in the middle of a thought, 13b. But one thing I do, Paul says, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's one of the things that we as Christians are supposed to do. Forget the pain, the sorrow, the worry, the hurry, the bitterness and brokenness of the past, and strain forward into the holiness and the sanctification that our Lord Jesus Christ gives to us. Let's bow before him today. Father, thank you for this opportunity to gather together. Thank you that we get to celebrate today. We get to celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. We get to celebrate the empowering presence of God in us. We get to celebrate communion and remembering the awesome sacrifice that has been paid so that we could approach the throne of grace with boldness. And we get to celebrate today baptism and a declaration of war against the spiritual forces of wickedness. And Lord, I just pray that you would orchestrate every aspect of this service, that you would draw us deep into your presence, that we would be conformed to the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that we would be ready to go out into our world under your banner as holy, light-filled children, bringing your presence to our world. Help us today in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.
Church, arise and put your armor on. Hear the call of Christ our captain. For now the weak can say that they are strong in the strength that God has given. Of God is stricken, than see his foes lay crushed beneath his feet. For the conqueror has risen, and as the storm is rolled away, and Christ emerges from the grave, this victory march continues till the day. Every eye and heart shall see him. So Spirit, come, for strength in every stride, give grace for every hurdle, that we may run with faith to win the prize of a servant's good and faith.
So today, as we continue our series on spiritual warfare, I want to remind us of what I have already said before moving on. And so the first sermon in the series was Wake Up. I won't yell it this time. The first sermon in the series was Wake Up. Realize the current state of affairs. You know, it is so easy for us to get caught up in this material world and everything about it and forget that there is something else going on all around us, that there is something really powerful, really important, and very pervasive that impinges upon us. We are not just material beings. We are spiritual beings in material bodies. And we, therefore, are a part of this spiritual warfare. And so the very first thing that I wanted you to do is to recognize that there are two realms. There is the spiritual force and kingdom of light, which is the kingdom of our God and of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the kingdom of the Holy Spirit and the angels who serve our God. And then there's the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan and of his fallen angels, the spiritual forces of wickedness. And we are on the battlefield. Now, the thing that I have to keep coming back to, and I have to make sure I remind you of, the war's been won. The war has already been won. There is no doubt about the outcome of this battle. Satan will be vanquished. All of the spiritual forces of wickedness will be held captive and thrown into the lake of fire, will be done away with. And it will just be a word. The Jesus will come riding out of heaven, and with one word, the battle, the war, everything will be done, because the result, the final victory, has already been accomplished through Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, as is evidenced through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we live on the battlefield. We have not yet transitioned out of this material world into the realm of God and his holy angels. And so we exist on the battlefield. The earth is Satan's territory, and we have an enemy. That was last week. We have an enemy, and we wrestle against this enemy. But as Josh has repeatedly said, and as I made very clear last week, that enemy is not flesh and blood. Okay? We do not wrestle against other human beings. We pray for them. We seek to bring them to understanding. We seek to help them to understand the love of God and to embrace that. They are not our enemy. They have been deceived, deluded, and oppressed by the enemy. And they can be tools in his hand, as I said. They can strike out with anger and hatred and enmity and violence. And we see all kinds of evidence of that in our world today. But one of the things that we need to realize is that the human beings are not the enemy. The spiritual forces of wickedness behind it is. And so that's who we're wrestling with. And we cannot beat that enemy. We do not have the power in ourselves to overthrow or overcome this enemy. He is far stronger than we are. But praise be to God. We do not fight this fight alone. We are not in it on our own. So let's read this text again. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. And then we will get into the message for today. What's a Christian to do? So finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly, as I ought to speak. Father, once again, as we come to this, your word, we need your instruction. We need your Holy Spirit to teach us and to guide us, to lead us into all truth as it is found in Christ Jesus, to empower and strengthen us so that we might be able to stand. So help us today as we approach your word to hear your voice, the message that you would have us to hear. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. So, what's a Christian to do? That's the question that I want to answer today. One of the things that Dr. David Jeremiah, in his series, as he was doing this, he referenced other pastors. I don't know who he was referencing. But he referenced other pastors who, in essence, said, we don't do anything. Who, we just are fine. You know, God's done it. It's all good. The war's been won. We can just, you know, roll over and play dead, as it were. I don't know that there's any pastor out there who thinks that. I don't know that there's any pastor out there who has ever said that. But I do know that sometimes we have a tendency to think that we don't have much of a part in this battle and that there's not much that we need to do. And that's just not true. We need to do something. And we need to do it fervently, actively, passionately, because we are on the battlefield. So I want to just draw your attention to some of the verbs that are in this passage. Okay? As we go through here, I just want to draw your attention to the verbs. Remember, what are verbs? Thank you. They're action. Those of you out in YouTube land, I hope you knew the answer to that. Verbs equate action. Action is that which we do, okay? And so here are some verbs as we go through from 10 through 20. Be strong. Put on. May be able to stand. Take up. May be able is in there again, and we'll talk more about that. To stand again and stand again. Having fastened. Having put on. Having put on. Take up. Take. Praying. Keeping alert. Making supplication. These are all verbs. These are things that we are supposed to do. So when we think about the battle and we think about the fact that the war's already been won, we have to remember that while the war has already been won, we are still in the midst of the battle. The battle rages around us, and we have to be good soldiers prepared to do the battle, prepared, as Josh said, not just to have a fortress mentality that stands firm, but a mentality that is willing to push back the kingdom of darkness, that is willing to push against the gates of hell, so that we might, through our Lord and Savior, prevail. It is not our power. And so I want to start with the word, finally. I should have probably talked about this in the past, but finally. What does finally mean?
Lastly.
Lastly. Well, you know, ultimately. Here's the last thing. And finally is a good rendering of this. We are near the end of the book. And we're near the end of Paul's letter to the Ephesian church. And so finally would be a good rendering of it. This is the last instruction in the overall warfare strategy that Paul has started all the way back in Ephesians chapter 4. If we go to Ephesians 4:24, well, I need to go back before that. Of course, with Paul, you have to go back a long way because his sentences are so stinking long. Verse 20, but that is not the way you learn in Christ. So he's got some things that are before that. They are darkened in their understanding. They're alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. They have become callous and have given themselves up to God. But that is not the way that you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And then from there on, he's giving ways to do that. He's illustrating, what does it mean to put off the ways of the flesh and the ways of the world, and to put on the ways of the Holy Spirit and the life of the Spirit? And finally, lastly, we could look at it that way. But there's another way to translate the Greek here. From now on. The Greek could be translated in this particular place. From now on. From this point forward. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Now, this is an interesting word. Be strong. It is second person, plural. What does that mean? Second person plural, anybody know? Grammar lesson? Thank you. You got to speak Southern? Y'all. I mean, you know, we in general English grammar usage, we would just say you. And I would say you. And I mean y'all. But let's make sure it's we get it. Second person plural, present. What does present mean? I'll tell you, in the Greek, present always means continuing. Present always means continuous action. Continually be strong. Okay? Continually be being strong is the idea that needs to happen here. But then we have this interesting thing. It's passive. What does that mean? To say that we are to be strong and to say that it is you all be strong, continuously be strong, and then to put it in the passive voice, what's it mean? It means that the action is happening to you. Passive means that the action is happening to the subject. So you all need to have this action happening to you. That you are being made strong, as you might say. That you are being empowered. That there's a source that is coming into you that is enabling you. Okay, you're being empowered. So one of the things that I just want to say at the outset of this, if we're talking about what's a Christian to do, is a Christian is first and foremost to submit to the empowering presence of God. A Christian is first and foremost to stay plugged in to the source. Have you ever had something that required a battery and the battery doesn't work? It becomes kind of like a nice paperweight at that point. No matter how fancy it is, no matter how many bells and whistles, someone commented on my camera earlier today, that's a camera. That camera is a camera. Indeed, it's a nice camera. And that camera without batteries is completely worthless. It will do absolutely nothing without a battery. It needs power. Can you imagine if that camera had a will? And if that camera's will said, I'm going to lock this battery plate compartment so that the owner can't get in here. Nobody's changing my batteries. Nobody's going to give me an energy boost. You see, we can do that as Christians. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can cut off the flow of the Holy Spirit. We can choose to do that. So the very first thing I just want you to get is you need to understand that you need to be empowered, and that power source does not come from within yourself. It comes from God, so you have to stay plugged into God. You have to be open to Him. Be empowered in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Okay, so that's sort of the first idea. Then we have put on. And again, it's second person plural. Y'all. This time it's aorist. Oh, the other thing that I forgot about the previous one, it's imperative. That means it's a command. That means that you have to keep on doing this, and you are commanded to keep on doing this. You have to keep on intentionally pursuing empowering from God. It's a choice that you make, and you are commanded to do it. You have to exercise your will in order to allow God to fill you and empower you. Put on. I can tell I'm not going to get through all these verbs. Put on the whole armor of God, the panoply. Put on the whole armor. It's in the imperative as well. It's in the aorist tense. Aorist tense is usually past. Well, you can't command someone to do something in the past. And so this is where the Greek sense of aspect comes in. I know it's sounding a lot like a grammar lesson today, right? So the aorist tense is past, but it carries other qualities with it, and the aspect is what we want to grab a hold of here. And this is the aspect of a singularity. Do it, and do it firmly, and do it once for all. Okay? Stand, put on. Put on. I got to make sure I get my verbs right here. Put on. Do it. Put it on. It's a command for you to do. You participate in it, but it's in the middle voice. Anybody have any idea what middle voice is? Now, in English language, we don't use it so much. But the middle voice is not passive and it's not active. It's the middle. What do you suppose that means? It means you're receiving and you're doing. You are involved in the action. So you could almost visualize it like this. Who does the armor belong to? It's God's armor, right? It's His armor. So you could imagine then Him holding out His armor and you stepping into it. He is giving it to you and you are embracing and receiving it. You are taking it on. And so He's holding, we don't do this in the United States, but in jolly old England, they used to have these manservant butler types that would serve the nobility. I've been reading Lord Peter Wimsey lately, and Bunter, my man. He's a marvelous character. But he would help Lord Peter get dressed. So this Peter, Lord Peter Wimsey, is getting dressed, but he's also being dressed. That's the idea that is here. It's being put on, but we are putting it on. We are actively involved in the process, but we're receiving it from God. That's huge. We're actively involved in the process, and we are supposed to do this once. So here's the only thing I'm going to tell you about this, is this is something that if you haven't done it, you need to do it, and then you need to stay in that armor. Don't take it off. This is not like your day clothes. It's not like your work clothes. It's something you put on and you keep on, because you are never off the battlefield. You know how this works, don't you? Soldiers in the field, they don't have multiple changes of clothes. They gear up, they get armored, they go out to battle. And they stay in that outfit regardless of how stinky, hot, and sweaty they get until the conflict is done. That's what we need to have in mind. We are to put that armor on and keep it on and live in it and practice it and be dressed in it at all times. Okay? May be able, may be enabled. Again, this is present, so it's continuous, but it's passive, and it's an infinitive. To enable, that we would be continuously enabled to stand. Our goal is to stand. Now, this isn't, I have to be really careful, because Josh was right. So often when we read this, we think of standing as something very stationary. And here we are, and we just stand. That's good, right? But that's not bringing the presence of God forward. And that's sort of allowing and saying, kind of like the flanks, I can't say that right, that the Romans used to build, where they would have sort of a pyramid point thing, and they'd overlap their shields and everything, and then the enemy would break against them. They'd come against them that way. There are times when that happens. But that phalanx? Phalanx? Can't even come close. Phalanx. Whatever it's called. That formation, they could march forward in that formation. And then at a command, they could drop their shields and be ready to have a wave break against them again. So it wasn't a stationary thing. This is not standing in a stationary way. We are to take our stand, yes. But our stand is against the schemes of the devil. And we can be active in overthrowing the forces of darkness that come against us. Verse 13, take up. We're supposed to take up something. And once again, it's imperative. We're commanded to do it. It's active. It's something that we have to do. It's something that, again, is in the aorist, which means that we are expected to just take up this whole armor of God, the panoply of God, so that, once again, you might be able to do something. You might be able to withstand in the evil day. Now, and having done is actually a participle. Does anybody know what a participle is? I know you can dangle them. Very good. You can dangle those participles. You're not supposed to dangle them, Josh. Don't leave any dangling participles. It's interesting because a participle acts something like a noun, but it's a verbal noun. Okay? And so this idea that you may be able to withstand, that you might be able to withstand, is that where I am? Oh, having done, thank you. Having done, I need to put a mark here so I know where I am. Having done, it's the ones having worked thoroughly. The Greek in there, the ones having done everything thoroughly. The ones who have, in essence, put on all the armor. Who have done this. Putting on armor is labor intensive. It takes time. But you do it, and you do it well. The Roman boots alone would take you forever. They're all laced up. But this notion of having done is also the notion of overcoming and overpowering. So when you are fully clothed and you have done this well and you are standing firmly in this, you're the ones who will be able to overcome. You're the ones who will be able to overpower. And you're the ones who will be enabled then to stand firm in the presence of God. I don't know if you're getting the sense that I really want to say. You're an active participant with God. God is there with you. He is enabling you. He is like Bunter, dressing you and preparing you and helping you and enabling you. But you can resist him. Just imagine Bunter trying to dress Lord Peter Wimsey, and Lord Peter Wimsey has his arms crossed across his chest and his feet locked together. It's not going to go so well. We actively have to participate in working with our God to do this. And if we do, we are the ones who will overcome standing firm. Verse 14, once again, is that y'all stand. It's imperative. Take your stand. Don't back down. Having fastened, once again, it's one of the things I want to tell you. Everything about the armor is in the aorist tense, which means you put it on once. You make a definite decision and you put it on and you don't take it off. All of the armor are that way, and I'm just going to skip the rest of this. Go down to verse 16, because I'm going to talk about each of them later on. Once again, the aorist tense for take up, the ones who have taken up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to, that's future tense, you can extinguish in the future the flaming darts of the enemy. And then take the helmet of salvation. I want to stop with that one because that one's not take as in we think a tank. I should have brought my motorcycle helmet out here for today, where we would think about, you know, you take that helmet and you put it on. The verb behind this is having welcomed, having open-heartedly received, having generously participated in and accepted, having welcomed it to you, the helmet of salvation. I'll probably talk more about that when we get to that. But then the thing that I want you to notice is all of those are aorist. They're all something that you're supposed to do kind of once, firmly, forever. And then you get to verse 18, and from 18 on, the verbs are present tense. We are to be actively engaged in doing these things. Praying. We are to be actively engaged in praying. Present. It's a participle, which means it's a noun, a verbal noun. The ones continuously praying, the ones who are constantly in prayer at all times in the Spirit, The other thing that is in there, once again, is that it is middle voice. So if you are constantly in prayer, the ones who are constantly in prayer, and it's in the middle voice, and you're engaged in it with the Holy Spirit, what's that mean? Once again, it's a back and forth thing. The Holy Spirit is helping you. You're praying. The Holy Spirit is praying with you. You're working together on this, and it's constant at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Keep alert. Once again, this is active, present active. We are to stay awake, stay alert, stay engaged. Never grow weary. Never forget that we are on the battlefield. Never forget that we have an enemy that we are fighting against. These are the kinds of things that a Christian is supposed to do. Now, once again, the war's already been won. Once again, the outcome is already decided. Once again, you are not going to defeat Satan. But as you are armed with the weaponry of God, the armor of God, the panoply of God, the presence of God, as you are engaged in prayer, staying alert, and doing your part, then you can be pushing back against the spiritual forces of wickedness, so that your presence in this world will make a difference to everyone you encounter. You will be in tune with God, and God will be working through you to reach a lost and dying world, redeeming the human beings from the deception and the chains that darkness have cast over them. That's what we are supposed to do. Stay active, stay alert, stay engaged, stay prayerful. As we prepare to leave, remember that you need to go in the mighty power of our Lord, clothed in His power, being empowered by Him, taking your stand and allowing Him to help you with the full armor so that you'll be able to bring truth and light to a dark world. God bless you as you go.